Hello and good morning. I'm Steve and this is my lovely co-host, Allie. Happy Friday, happy weather, happy days.
We love it, the sun is out.
Yes, and we are coming at you from Studio 4 in the Lone Peak campus. And I was thinking, Allie, I kind of feel like George Jefferson and you're wheezy. And we're moving on up.
We are, he says, we've arrived. And I like the ring to Studio 4.
The Studio 4.
I mean, wherever we are, we'll just call it that.
I just walked in, I'm like, we made it, Allie.
We might be the only ones that think so, but that's okay.
I know. So what's going on?
Just enjoying the sunshine. It's Friday.
I know. It's great. It's going to
be a great week. Your shirt. I love it.
Hey, you know.
The flowers are in bloom.
I know. And my allergies are, too.
Well, you got to change your shirt. Get rid of the allergies.
Well, it's not scratches.
Okay.
You've been watching the playoffs?
I have.
Wow. So it's fascinating because I haven't paid that much attention to the NBA games this year, but I do like the playoffs just because of the level of intensity.
They play defense once playoffs
start, which helps.
Helps a lot.
Yeah, instead of scoring 60 points, some people score 20 now.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, unless you're Steph Curry. But
yeah.
I was watching a game in particular the other night, and I had kind of like a aha moment. It was Boston against Miami. And I know you probably know this, but for those of you that don't care about basketball or don't know, Miami was they had to win their way into the playoffs.
Yep.
Right? They weren't even seeded to get the playoffs.
Playing games, yep.
And I'm watching them play a Boston team that is probably has far superior talent. I mean, Boston is loaded. And they're good. And other than Jimmy Butler, which that guy just killed it.
Yeah.
And he's crushing it. I mean, he is averaging the most points in the playoff of any player right now. I didn't realize that most of the team on the floor was undrafted. Did you know that?
No, but when you think about the teams, I bet people can name more than two or three players on the Heat, unless you're a Heat fan.
Yeah.
Because you just don't hear
Jimmy Butler
about them.
That's it. And their coach has been there forever, which is a story in itself. But the thing I noticed, and when I was hearing the commentators talk about how they overachieved and how they were hanging with this Boston team, I started focusing away from the basketball game and more towards the body language of the team. And what was compelling was I noticed that if you looked in their eyes, they weren't afraid. And they also, you could tell, they believed that they were better than they were. And they ended up winning that game in Boston.
Well, the reason they are where they are, I think, is sometimes you just have to fake it till you make it. I do think that, you know, whenever there's three, four, five all-stars, blue-collar, or blue-chippers, it's really hard. There's one basketball.
Right.
It's hard to share and distribute. If you can find a team that really believes in each other,
yeah,
and believes in themselves, I just think they're unstoppable if they have that chemistry and talent.
Yeah.
But that belief system can take them a long way. Everyone's talented.
But on paper, if you narrow it down on paper, that team should not even be there. Much less competing and winning in Boston on game one of the playoffs.
Oh, for sure. A lot of valuable lessons to learn from that team, but also the level of selfishness that exists that keeps teams from being successful because they're like, again, there's one basketball and there's too many people that want it to be the star, and it just can destroy a team just as quick.
The takeaway for me, as I started thinking about this and watching it and enjoying it, was I think the power of the mind is incredible, number one. Number two, I think that good people coming together and collaborating and believing in one another and bringing out the best together is so valuable for success. It's just amazing. And I think, and I hate to go back to the COVID world, right? But I think it's as a society, it's separated a lot of us. And, you know, I don't want to get too deep into it, but I think that being home, being alone, being separated isn't healthy. I don't think as a society, as a person, that we are wired that way, and we need that interaction, and we need more of it.
Yeah.
And I think when you come together and you work together as a team, you overcome collectively adversities together than trying to take on stuff by yourself.
I agree. And I think that some of my greatest memories or experiences and emotional connections have come through team. Like, teams can come in so many different forms, like you mentioned, whether it's a family or at work or through an athletic event, but there's just something really bonding.
Yes.
And it's such a deep connection, even with people that you probably wouldn't associate with outside of that team experience. But when you do something hard together, you can, you know, you uplift each other and motivate and be inspired by others. And I think that's what we're missing with COVID, is that deep connection and that being uplifted and that support. But it's so powerful.
You know, it's funny, because when I was in the military, and going through basic training, they dropped us off in the middle of nowhere and give us a shovel and some scraps, right, to eat. It was awful, nasty food. And we dug a foxhole, and we had to stay in that foxhole for 4 days. And they would try to come out. The Rangers, Army Rangers, would try to come out and simulate an attack, which they were a little aggressive, so you didn't want to fall asleep, right? If I had to sit in that foxhole by myself, I would not have made it. I can tell you right now, in good faith, I would not have made it. But I got partnered with a gentleman from the Bronx. And I can tell you, I'm from one side, from a small town. He's from the Bronx, New York. Completely different. We had totally different life stories. But you know what? In that 4 days, he and I bonded, and we are friends to this day. And he helped me, and I believe I helped him get through 4 days of pure hell.
Yeah.
And it was a stranger. It's crazy.
Yeah, I think there's no better way to get to know, to bond, and to create a lasting relationship with someone than to do something challenging with them, do something hard with them, or go through something together.
Yeah, because the easy part's right. If you have to do that, you're going to go with somebody that's comfortable to you. You're going to pick a friend or somebody you have a relationship with. But it's fascinating when you get partnered or paired with somebody you don't know, how that relationship changes.
Absolutely.
And how that bond grows. And it isn't just spontaneous, or it isn't just short term. When you go through adversity or you do something together, it's amazing how you come together long term.
I agree. And ironically, that actually plays in perfect to what we're going to be talking about today.
Which is weird. We didn't script this.
We did not script it. And I do think it's probably the most important and valid point of everything that we've discussed today.
Yes.
is just creating those relationships through pushing ourselves, doing hard things, and being inspired by others. But we have some InterCAT family members with us.
We do.
And they probably have an experience that they have an experience we would love for them to share. And it may need to be censored, apparently. So we'll be prepared for the bleeps. And we told them, this is free reign. We want it to be real. We want them to share their experience and be raw and open. As long as Steve's here, that's all we got.
Hey.
So we're going to introduce our family member here. And actually, I think it would be great if we started with the team captain, have her introduce those that are here, and then just tell us everyone else that was a part of our Ragnar team that participated last weekend in Zions. And this, how many years have we been doing this?
Me personally, I've done 2 years, but I think we've done four or five.
So I think there's probably some people that, before we introduce, that don't know what Ragnar means. What is Ragnar?
Well, you have more experience with different.
Is it just a camp out?
It's an obstacle. Well, it's a race that you do, and this was a trail run. And there's three different loops, and you have a team, and you take turns going on every other loop. And where we have two teams, it was different courses that were going, and it's basically a 24-hour race in the mountains.
And does each person do three loops, and then someone could pick up another one for someone if you needed to, but you do three each?
Yeah.
And what's the mileage on each of those loops?
I think the two of them are about 4.5 miles, and then the longest one's like 7.4 or 7.5, roughly.
On a trail.
On a trail. In the middle of the night.
In the dark.
Yes. And what's the hardest loop? Even not by distance, but just like heel and
the red loop.
What's a lot of
labeled the hardest?
And oh, yeah. What mileage was that one?
The 7 point.
7 point.
Seven. Longest and steep, right?
Yes.
Yep. And in the dark and uphill both ways.
Yes. That sounds painful. Yes.
In the snow.
In the snow.
Yes.
Was there snow?
No snow.
No snow.
Okay.
That's great.
No.
Okay, good. I think that was a good introduction to it. And camping, which is great. You're not driving in cars, so you're all located in one place. You can come back. Do they provide food or any music or anything? How's the atmosphere of that?
Amazing.
Is it fun?
Yeah, the little village there was amazing at night, especially. Would you guys agree?
Yes.
Yeah. I kind of picture it as the Olympics, like that was the Olympic Village. Yes.
Very similar.
Yeah.
Okay.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
It's a party, it sounds like.
Yeah.
Unless you're out running.
So
your own party.
Share. Yeah. Introduce and share.
Okay. I'm Ashley Boyle. I don't
know. Do you? Yeah.
And then Mark, Ashley, and Trish.
And you were a team.
Yeah, we were all on the same team.
All four of you on the same team.
Yes. Who else was on your team?
So we had Natalie Clift, Cassie Risley, Randy Hood, and Blake Peterson.
Awesome. And then do you have the list of the other teams?
Yes, I do. So we had two teams. Our team was Scrambled Legs.
Scrambled Legs.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
And then our other team was the Interlopers.
Yes.
Okay.
And who was on that team?
And it was Stephanie Johnson, Rebecca Wright, Alicia Hurlbert, Emily Jensen, Brinley, Cheyenne, Christian, and Tristan.
Awesome. Wow. Awesome. So fun. And it's getting more and more popular. We could end up with 3 or 4 teams by the time we're done with this. But
we're going to have to talk to Chad about that one.
Yes.
Yeah.
We'll be doing some fundraisers, it sounds like.
Yes.
So Ashley, I know last year
was your...
Yes.
Well, we can do that too. That's a guarantee. We're doing that. Last year was your first year.
Yes.
What got you into it? What was kind of your why? And I want you guys to think of your why as well. Like, why did you decide to do it? And what motivated you to actually keep training for it? Besides the fear of not completing it.
Yeah. Or did you train?
Yeah. So what was your...
For my first year was I wanted a healthy goal for myself that I would be held responsible for something. Like, if I knew I signed up for something, I was going to get it done type of a thing instead of the, like, what's that, like, open...
So do you feel like if you didn't have that accountability, you might have mentally checked out and not done it?
Yes.
You think being a part of the team, obviously, and not wanting to let the team down is a big part of that. You can sign up for a race, and if it's just by yourself, you can kind of... You know, maybe it doesn't affect anybody else if you're not fully prepared.
Right.
But when you have a team counting on you, it's a little different.
Yep.
So I hear that you did an awesome job last year. And then you went from team member to team captain this year. And what was your experience coming back? Having done it once, did you feel more confident? Did you feel like I actually need some revenge on this hill because I wasn't as prepared? What was your...
Yeah, so my first year, I did a very dumb thing. I stopped smoking right before the race, like that day.
Oh.
And so...
That'll leave a mark.
Yeah, it was fun. And so I did 2 of my loops, and then I went to the third loop, which was my hardest one. It was the 7.8. Mm-hmm. And that took me almost 3 hours. So... The reason I wanted to do it again was to beat my times.
Awesome.
And this year I did my red loop in 1 hour 45.
Good for you.
That is awesome.
So that was my
That's
goal
a win.
Into coming into Ragnar this year.
That's amazing.
So incredible. And your training, was it different?
Knowing how the trails were before, I was just training like on a treadmill. This year I was more like, okay, there's a lot more uphill, there's sand, there's all this stuff, and so I did a lot of like the Stairmaster, and I did treadmill a lot because our awesome winters this year.
Did you stop smoking a week before, or have you still stopped smoking?
I stopped smoking completely.
Permanently.
Yeah.
Well,
nice job.
Thank great
you.
Job.
Nice.
Thank you.
So you've been done.
Mm-hmm.
Good for you.
Yep. Good for you.
Doing physical things will do that for you.
That was
and
hard.
It gives you a different high. It gives you your own little,
yep,
you know, boost that you need. That's awesome.
A lot of wins there.
As we'll stick on this topic, you guys are, you know, first timers. You've done Wasatch Back, so it's not your first race, but going into this and signing up for this, what was your motivating factor? I mean, we're all coming from a different place coming out of COVID. We're coming from a place where we're like, we weren't bothered by anything. And all of a sudden we're like, but I don't fully recognize myself, or I just don't feel like I have the mojo I used to have. And, you know, a lot of times doing physical things is the best way to gauge and measure our improvement in ourselves. It's also a great outlet, but we all are motivated different. What was it for each of you that got you to sign up for this?
It was on, oh,
go ahead. No, you're
it
good.
Was on my bucket list, actually. So I was like, I'm usually camp mom at right there. So, but I get some support every morning. I was like, I gotta do it. I gotta do it. I gotta do it. And then I made a goal to do it before I turned 45. And then I turned 44 this year. So I was like,
run out of time.
So I was like, okay, let's do it. So when I committed, it was a very hard commitment to do. Like I committed back in June, July, I can't remember, but I started doing it. And then life gets in the way and you're like, I gotta run today. So I kind of made it a goal, like on my lunch break, just go do a mile, mm-hmm, you know, just go do something. And then there's days where like, yeah, I'm not getting off this couch, I'm reading a book, I'm not doing this today. And then you beat yourself up. So then I held myself accountable. And then I did the team thought. I was like, okay, these people are counting on me, I have to do it for them. So I started using that mentality too, like, you're part of the team, do this. This is your bucket list, you gotta get it done. Just get it done, and you got it done.
That is awesome. Do you ever find that sometimes it's like, doing it for ourselves isn't enough, even though it's a horrible way to think about it, and doing it for other people motivates us more. I mean, we should first and foremost be so willing to do whatever it takes to be the best version of ourselves, but there's something about not letting other people down, and that's that value of team we talked about that's just super empowering.
It was the best thing to cross those finish lines and see these faces. Like Mark, I was like, Mark, I'm so happy to see you, because I tagged off to Mark, and I was like, you gotta get this belt off me, but I'm so happy to see you right now. Like, I was super excited, and it was good to hear them cheering, because you're like, oh, we did it. We did one loop. Let's do it.
So awesome. Not to start any rumors, but I heard a rumor. I don't know if it's true or not, Trey.
Okay.
But I heard you faced some adversity out there.
When I started, so I kind of did. So when I started my red loop, which is the hard one first,
yeah,
I, you know, you're antsy, you're ready to go.
Was that in the dark?
No,
it's in the light.
It was during the afternoon, and I'm super pale, and it was the hottest time of the day. So I'm lathered up in all the sunscreen you can think of, and you know, and you're waiting to go, and you're like, you're impatient to go, but then you're excited for your teammate because you're getting ready to cross that line, right? And I came after Ashley, and I was so happy to see her and I gave her a hug. And then I think I hyped myself up so much to where I started going on the red trail, and I gave myself a leg cramp right away. And I'm like, no, you just started, Trish, really? So then I'm walking it off, and the next thing I know, Clayton's passing me. He's like, you got this, Trish? And I'm like, yeah, Clayton. And I'm like, I'm catching up to you. Like, that was in my brain that I'm going to catch up to you. So then as I'm going, you know, and then you start doing all these inclines, you're like, yeah, got to be at least the 3 mile mark right now, like I'm killing it. Like you're going good. Yeah, I saw the 2 mile mark and I cursed at that 2 mile mark. I was like, F you. F you 2 mile. I was so mad. I was so heated.
And it says ish.
And ish. It doesn't say the actual thing. Yeah. It's like ish. I'm like, oh no, you're lying. Like I'm like, I put this thing in here wrong. So then I'm like, okay, we'll just keep going. And then being the mom I am, the trails were really hard this year because of the snow and it was a lot of things were washed out. I mean, they were a little bit, maybe it's my first time, but they were treacherous to me. And I'm sitting there thinking, I'm like, okay, I'm going slower. You know, these people are running like so much faster than me. I can only imagine the injuries that can happen. So I became a trail auditor to where it helped me mentally, like, oh, they could have put a log right here. They could have put some rocks. Like, I was thinking about my team, right? And you're like, oh, they need to fix these trails for the people, you know? So that's like my part-time job now. But you know, I went through that, and then I had text Ashley at my 2 mile mark to let them know my pace, so when it was time for Mark to go, they, you know, they can be ready, because I know the anxious feeling of waiting. Well, I didn't know that she wasn't even text. So I'm getting to like my 5.5, 6 mile mark, and I get a text from Cheyenne, like, hey, you know, just checking in on you. I'm like, oh yeah, I'm at the 6 mile mark, I'll be there soon, you know. And it took me like 3.5 hours to do it, you know. So And so I'm like, okay, yeah, I'm way behind my time. I'm mad at myself because I'm not putting the time out that I want to do, but I'm still completing it, so I'm happy that way. And then I get a text from Alicia like, hey, it's 5:30. We're just checking on you. And I'm just like, why isn't nobody texting me? Like, I'm at the 7 mile mark. Like, I'll be there in a minute. I didn't know they weren't getting my text. Everyone thought I was injured on the trail at the 2 mile mark and stuff. And so, you know, so then when I come through, you know, I see the faces and Mark gives me a hug. He's like, I'm so proud of you. He goes, you know, get to the medic tent. And I'm like, I must look horrible. Like, I just, you know, I must look just crazy. And then it's like, everyone kept getting hurt on the yellow trail, which was my night trail. And I'm just, I did not do that trail. I skipped that loop because I didn't want to get hurt on the mountain myself. Yeah. I knew my own fear, and I knew me going into it with a fear wasn't going to be advantageous for any of us.
Sure.
Right? So I was like, okay, I'm going to sit this one out, and I slept a little bit, and then for the last little loops, we started doubling up because the weather was rolling in, we're running out of time, you know, just things were happening. So me and Cheyenne did the last green loop together, and I was so grateful to have her with me. She set a good pace for me,
yeah.
And I was like, okay, you're doing it. And it was just nice to share that experience with Seven. And things, so.
$1 million question.
It was $1 million question.
Did you, or at what point did you like, I'm quitting? Did that go through your head? I'm done. I'm out.
When I hit that 2 mile mark and I saw that stupid sign,
yes.
I was like, what the did I get myself into?
Yeah.
I was like, I can't believe that this is where I'm at right now. I know better. I've been trying to do this, and this is where I'm at.
Right.
I was like, you can't do this. And then I was like, you're going up the hill. You got to get back down. And the only way I told you to finish it, you know, that's what started going through my mind. Okay, you set your mind to it. So I had to change my attitude. Even though I was pissed,
yeah,
I had to change my attitude.
So last question.
Okay.
If you would have been running that by yourself, giving that adversity of what you just shared, if you was just Trish running this.
Mm-hmm. Not part of a team.
Would you have bowed out?
So I have this little thing to where once I set my mind to do something, I'm going to do it. No matter how long it takes me, I'm going to get it done. And so even though I was pissed and there was a part of me that was like, what the hell did I do?
Yeah.
I was like, you're doing it. You have to do this. You have this goal. You can't. I wouldn't have been able to live with myself because even my boyfriend, I called him after the red one, and he's like, okay, get ready for the yellow. I'm like, I don't know. A lot of people get hurt on the yellow. It's
dark.
I don't know if I can do this. He's like, I know you. You're going to beat yourself up if you don't do this because you have your mindset.
Right.
But I came to terms with not doing the yellow loop because I'm like, I don't want to get hurt and I don't want to hold up. You know, I felt that it wasn't good for the team.
Right.
So I was upset with myself, but okay with myself.
Yeah.
You have to be able to make decisions you can live with.
Yeah. And that was something I could live with. And my legs thank me.
I'm sure they did.
Yes.
Ashley, what was your takeaway? What was your experience?
Oh, it was a great experience for one. My why behind it though, what got me to actually sign up and be part of the team was basically coming out of COVID for me. Like COVID for me mentally changed me, and I had to find something to motivate me to push me out and get Ashley back. So that was my why. It was like the push to get me back to my passions. Like I love being out on the mountain, the trails, running. Like that's a passion of mine. So I had fought some back pain for like 2 years. Finally got that under control, feeling good, like, okay, I can run a little bit, get back to my passions and stuff, that doing things that make me feel good and, you know, just, it's passion for me. Like running and trail running and being up in the mountains, like that's my happy place. So that's why it was a no-brainer. I'm like, I'm gonna do this. Like I feel good, my back's feeling good. I'm going to start training. I'm going to give it my all. And yeah, I just was consistent with my training. And we have an amazing team captain who motivated us along the way and checked in. And, you know, we had a really cool group chat going, and that kept us like all in sync with each other. So like my takeaway for one is I'm afraid of the dark. I do not like being outside on the trail in the dark because your mind plays tricks on you. You're like, what is that? Is that a bear? Is that a cougar? Like, what's that?
Is that a person that shouldn't be there?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So for me, I did the green loop at night, and I 2 miles in, I actually hurt my ankle. And so I then kind of mentally panicked and was like, okay, I don't know how to get back, so I gotta keep going. So you just have to just push through. You gotta like mentally check yourself again and just, you've got this. You know, you're already here. You're already doing it. Just keep going. Who cares if you have to walk out? You did it.
Yeah. Love it.
Mm-hmm. So my takeaway was just the perseverance of the team. And how we leaned on each other for support. I think me and Mark saw each other a few times where we're like not feeling the greatest, you know, it's just like it's real, you're vulnerable, you're excited for each other.
Yeah.
And you just want to hug everybody and just tell them constantly, you're just amazing. You are amazing that you just did that. Like Trish, like holy crap. So proud of her, proud of everybody. So yeah, it was an amazing experience, and for me it's reignited a passion of mine. I used to run half marathons, I've done a relay race, I've never done a Ragnar, I've always wanted to, and now I can check that off my list and I want to do it again.
It's amazing, and I'm gonna take your experience, all of your experience with life, right? There's easy trails, there's hard trails, there's lighted trails, there's dark trails, there's lighted times, there's dark times. It's amazing the bully on your shoulder, which is your mind. I call it the bully on your shoulder.
Yep.
When things get hard, that bully on your shoulder is a monster, man.
Mm-hmm.
Right? When you face adversity or tough times or something's different in your life or you get things change, right? It's amazing how that starts taking over. It tries to get in your positive thinking and really shut you down.
Yeah.
And I think we've all faced that, whether it's in a relationship, it's in our work, it's whatever. But it's amazing how if you can control that bully on your shoulder, how you can go on and how you can succeed.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
That's great.
Mark, let's hear your why.
My why. So I feel like I kind of got tricked into this.
Here we go. Come on, Mark.
I may or may not have heard that this is for a bachelorette party.
Oh.
My ride down was all with ladies. I mean, majority of ladies there, but no, for real though, I was kind of a last couple weeks ad, and I've been training for another race, and so I thought this would be a good tester, you know, a good halfway pointer, a quarter point to train for my next race. And so I'd never done this version of Ragnar. And the why was that it's a trail run. Trail runs are always hard. And I have had some experience with some other races, and there's no better feeling than being around people that are all trying to accomplish the same thing, but all have their different experiences that they bring to the table. And being around some of the most motivated people in their element is so rewarding and so motivational. And so for me, those that know me, I have a family that I care deeply for, that I'm with a lot. We do a lot of sports. And so this was as much for me as it was for anything, because I needed to do something for myself. And a hard challenge like this with teammates was so much fun. And this was really hard. Don't let anybody fool you. This trail run was really, really hard. It's right up there with some of the hardest races I've done. So I'm just grateful to be a part of it.
Did you do a night run?
I did. I did the red at night. Which
What went through your head the night?
I freaking love that one. I did.
You did?
I totally loved
Why?
It. I don't know. I think it had been built up so much that it was such a hard trail. And it was. But I like the quietness of the night. I love the moon. It was like a crescent moon that you can see the clouds and you can see it. I totally found peace. That's a good way to put it. And one of the coolest experiences I think was when you're down at where the starting point is and you look up into the mountains at night, you see this little snake of headlamps, of flashlights that are in the mountain, and they're kind of moving around. And it was just a really surreal sight to see. And it's hard to put into words unless you saw it in person, but it was definitely peaceful for me. I enjoyed it.
So I got to tell you all, so I've had the privilege of running on a treadmill next to Mark on my left and Cassie on my right.
Oh.
And I'm just going to tell you, if I go downstairs in my house and I run on my treadmill, I suck. I'm okay, right? I'm not my best because, again, something's telling me I'm tired, I'm not being pushed, there's really nothing there. But when I've ran next to these two, holy smokes, they are full-on animals on that treadmill.
Yeah.
And I kept pushing the button, especially Cassie, right? I'd look over and I'm like, oh my God, that speed. So I'd like, I'm hoping she's not looking. And then she bumps it up and I'm like, for the love of God, no more. No freaking more.
And but, you're not competitive also.
No. Yeah. But that's the power of being a team and being together, because it brings out the best in you and it brings out more in you and it brings out this togetherness. And you know, trying to do anything by yourself is hard, but when you get a group together and you form that bond and you guys are looking out for each other, it's more than a race, right?
Sure. You know, I do think that every one of you brought up something that at some point in the race there was some type of challenge, whether it was you lifting someone else or what you lifting yourself to go through that. And I think the power of signing up for these things, they're self-inflicted challenges that you're going to go through something through your day and you're going to be like, that wasn't even close to the red. Mm-hmm. That wasn't even close to that 2-mile-ish mark. And you fought through it. And I think, you know, going through and completing something, it does something for us.
Absolutely.
It is so powerful. It does something for us. And we were all motivated in a different way. But you know, someone told me one time, think of your friends in your 20s and then your 30s into your 40s and 50s. They change. And the reason they change is because we change. And you want to surround yourself consistently with people that are going to push you. And as you grow and you push yourself, the people around you, they're also that same type of people. And you go and experience this with people that are like-minded, that are trying to push themselves. It doesn't matter if you're in the same place, but you want personal growth. The people that you spend the most time with, you become the most like, and that is real. And we want to surround ourselves with people that make us better, but that are your biggest cheerleaders too. And I think there's so much growth that happens when we cheer other people on. That feels just as good out there as the one receiving all of the cheerleading.
And no matter what, that experience is something that nobody can take away from your team.
Yeah,
right? That is a bond that's going to be with you forever. The goods and the bads. But that's something that you guys will be able to share forever. So I just thank you. Thank you for representing. Thank you for being uncomfortable. Thank you for trying. I think that's fascinating.
So. Before we end this, though, I think it's, you know, whether you actually participate, you said that you were a camp mom. And I just want to bring Kimber on for 1 second. She was the team mom. And she also was just as much a part of this team.
Did you have both teams?
No, we also had Kim Stubbs.
And
Kim.
Kim.
They were amazing.
Kim's a great team mom, too.
Yes, she's amazing.
Yes.
She's wonderful.
And I just want Kimber's perspective of what her experience was and what she gained from this, because we can grow without being on the mountain, walking, running, or whatever, but just being part of a great team and surrounded by great people. So yeah, why don't you?
Absolutely. I'm just in the back crying for you guys again. it was so incredible to be there with people that I feel like I know. I get to work with all of you on the daily, but you just learn so much new stuff in that environment. close quarters, lots of inside jokes now. And but really, you all, what I took from that is just you all had your own individual goals. And that's, I think, what me going into it, you all were like, are you ready to do this before you guys even started? And I was like, absolutely not. Like, that's not a thing I'm ever going to do. I'm very uncoordinated. And I would be that one that would trip right at the start. But in my head, I was like, you have to go in, you have to finish. Like, I was like, I couldn't do that because I would go in and like be too scared to finish, right? But watching each of you go through your own personal goals, right? Like, to hear you come off and be like, I beat that, and you were just exhausted. I was like, wait, like, I mean, I'm not happy for you, but like, you're ready, right? And she was like, ready to quit. Like, she's like, now that I beat my run, it's all downhill from here. And I've never had that mentality. So being around you all to just like what your own personal goals were and hearing how, I mean, seeing Clayton come in and sub in for Cheyenne like pretty last minute. I mean, awesome. Clayton crushed it and did it just out of his own personal goals and kindness of his heart to like make sure Cheyenne was there and supported. And we got Clayton his medal, so don't anyone worry. We did that because he deserved it. He did the whole thing. But yeah, it was incredible.
You know, Kimber, what you just said really resonated. Everybody had their own personal goals, but everybody also wanted the best for the team. So I guess the point being is you can still have your personal goals in life, right? But the team makes you better.
And someone else's success doesn't take away from yours.
At all. Absolutely not. That's good input there.
That's good. That's great. Good. So to end, you know, one of the challenges that we want to throw out there is just we need to keep creating experiences that get us out of our shell. They don't always have to be super hard, but you know, I know even Kimber, she might not do Ragnar, but she's going to do what? What did you sign up for that we have to just change the date?
No, we're doing that one.
What is it? It's a half. She's doing a half marathon. And it can be your own challenge, but if you feel like, you know, I've never run a 5K before, don't sign up for a 5K, sign up for a half marathon. Like, we limit ourselves so much, it doesn't matter if you even walk half of it, you complete it.
You know what, Allie, I'm going to play 36 holes of golf instead of 18 tomorrow.
It's a great idea. With no cart.
I'm going to challenge myself.
With no cart.
Yeah.
But I think, again, just ask yourself what's next. And it's not that we don't ever have to be satisfied with where we are, but we do need to have a what's next in our life. We have to have something that we're working toward. I mean, I personally love physical because it's measurable and there's something therapeutic about it. But know what your passions are. Know where you get that place of solace and that you can enjoy and you do things for you. I love that you said that when you're a family man too. It's just you have to find time for you.
Oh, yeah.
And I think if we can continue to challenge, set events up, and do things with people that we love and care about that make us better, we're just going to keep growing. And that's the point of this life, so we can, in turn, give back all of that. So thank you guys so much for being here. We're so proud of you.
Yeah.
And I can't wait for the next one.
Yeah.
We're signing you guys up.
Cricket.
With that being said, we're out of time, and we'd like to thank everybody for joining us for this month's podcast. We'll see you next month. Have a great weekend. Enjoy the sunshine.
Have fun in the sun.
And do something uncomfortable.
Yep.
Thanks everybody. Guys.